back to the Dive Bomb Squadcast. I'm your host, Matt Judy, here with episode 70 going down with Asher Tolliver. In this episode, you know, we're going to be talking about a little bit of season recaps, good stories from the road, what we've been doing in the off season, a little bit of squad fest too. So Asher, you know, how you been doing, man?
Man, just rocking and rolling here. Weather's starting to turn the corner. Getting excited, gosh. Man. Been spending the weekends at the ballpark already and about ready
fishing. You've got springtime going. It feels like we're still stuck in winter over here. It's mid-March right now, and this is like my worst month of the year, dude. I got nothing going on.
You got to chill with them hard tees in that winter.
Man.
Dude,
I'm so tired.
I
can't. You said hanger the other day, and you had a hard G on something, but I forgot to call you out on it, dude.
Dude, Judy hits the hardest tees in the game,
bro. Oh my gosh.
Hunting or winter.
It gets me so flustered whenever you call me out on that. We'll be like filming. He's like, yo, chill with those tees, dog. And I'm like, gosh, dang it. Now I can't stop thinking about it.
It's about to be almost 79 degrees later this afternoon.
Oh my gosh, dude. I'm so
you about
jealous.
To put Wet Roy in the water or what?
Heck no, dude. The bass bite doesn't get good for another like month and a half. Like, I'm just stuck here, dude. It's mid-March is the absolute worst time of the year here in the Western PNW, dude. It's so bad. But I saw you getting your boat, like you were moving your quad around, getting the boat up. I was like, dude.
Is it still gloomy there?
Yeah, dude. I'm looking out the window. It's raining its ass off right now. Yeah, I pulled my boat up and I was like charging my batteries, and it was like one sunny day, and then I looked at the extended forecast and it's rain and mid-40s for the next 14 days. So my springtime is not very fun. You're just have you been out fishing yet or not?
Oh man, not yet. We cranked up baseball and we opened up the season with 3 weekends straight. So, you know, we went to Hunted Spring Snows. Last week I was in St. Louis at HQ. That was my first time at the new warehouse, dude, that place is insane, man. Just absolutely insane. It's kind of surreal, like the growth. But we were there, and then we went to Habitat Flats, went and saw Tony, and burned him up, man. Set in the pit Thursday, Friday. Kind of had a weird system come in last Wednesday at freaking snowed there, and then you know, Tony had mentioned he thought Thursday morning would probably be a little bit slow because there was still kind of slushy ice on the ground, and man, it melted off midday, and man, it was good. Like Thursday afternoon was really, really good. Friday was really, really good, and then I busted it back home, and we had a 9 a.m. ball game, and then
straight to baseball.
Yeah, Jake and Bowie, they went rolling back to STL. So yeah, man, no, I haven't gotten out, but I'm pretty excited to get out. I know the crappie are biting, a bunch of dudes are out catching.
Yeah, that's still one thing I've never experienced here. We don't have too many of those around here. You know my bass fish, and I go to the same lake, do the same loop, and
dude,
catch
I hate
the
that
same
so much.
Fish 4 days a week, dude.
You're like, yo, this log has Larry under it. He's about 38.
I'm like, dude, Jerry's chilling under. He's sitting on her bed again. It's 3 feet to the left right here. Yeah,
dude, let's ridiculous. Talk about that studio, though.
Oh,
you got
my
that
gosh,
thing looking nice, bro. That sign, Bowie.
Yeah, Bowie killed it on this sign, dude. I opened up that package. You know, it took a while to get here, and I opened it up. I was like, that is sick. So I built this whole studio myself. I stained the wood, measured everything, cut it, found this nice contrast in the middle, and then I started decorating it this week. You know, I got my sunglasses, my favorite hat, the Jerry can, Busch Light collection right there, and my prized mallard pintail mount.
Turn the camera a little bit. Can you show the whole?
You should be able to. You'll be able to see it.
You can see it. Okay, so the screen I'm looking at, it's just a square. So I can only see, like, to your hat, to the mallard.
You can only see right here. But
I got you. It's looking good, man. You did a good job with that.
Yeah, and I just noticed that my lanyard matches the kind of pink and blue of the Dive Bomb Squadcast.
It does.
That's pretty badass.
Dude, flexing that mallard pintail right there, just got me Arthur Fiston, dude. Down here on the side, like, dude, I want to kill one of those so bad.
Dude. And
every time I come up there, dude, you just got that thing front.
You're just looking at that thing on my wall. And
and the thing is, it's immaculate, too. It's not like it's an okay one. Like, dude, that one is.
But yeah, this one is like pristine. And the guy I had do it, Leon Matthews, he retired now, which I'm really sad about because I wanted him to do this one that I shot this year. But it's just like an immaculate mount. It's actually the only mount that I have. And to have just one like that, I'm pretty proud of it.
You about broke the internet with that storm.
Oh my gosh, dude. I couldn't believe that. That is the nicest one I ever shot. So this storm, if you're watching on YouTube, right there, I shot that one day before the last day of the season this year. It was a solo that came in. I didn't really even see what it was because the sun, it was an evening hunt. The sun was to our face. I knew it was a widge, and it was just a black silhouette coming in. And had somebody shoot it, and I sent Drifter out after it. And the moment I looked down and realized what Drifter had in his mouth, I just lost it, dude. I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, get that thing out of your mouth before you start messing it up. I was like, give me that thing.
Dude, that thing is so sick.
Almost pure white. That's easily the best one we have ever shot in my waterfowl career. Like, hands down, dude. Easy.
I'm not hosting this podcast, but I'm going to put you on record right now. Is that a storm widgeon?
Depend. To me, to 99% of the U.S. population, yes, it is. To me, it's not. And I remember the day I texted you this picture, we were arguing about it while I was still on the hunt.
Dude, so this has been, anybody that's been following us a while, or Judy, like, obviously been an ongoing thing, like the widgeon and the storm widgeon and all that stuff. And as much crap as I like to give Judy all the time, because we've known each other a long time and we're good friends, I was like, dude, I'm just going to come right out and say it. Like, we are putting this on the dive bomb page. And as much as I don't want to give him these creds, he gets it, because killed that thing, I knew he wasn't going to come out and say it. And I was like, it's got to be said, because this is absolutely a storm widgeon. I mean, a storm widgeon is subjective. That's a storm widgeon. I'm sorry. Come on. I mean, look at the thing, man. Like,
no, I can't.
By your definition, yeah.
That one's on a whole other category.
Dude, it is. That's a storm widgeon all day, every day. And I was like, you know what? We're just coming right out. We're putting this on the platform. And we're going to.
Dude, I know that kid officially declared.
I know I don't get to make that determination, but I've been around you and long enough, and other people that harvest a lot of widgeon, and it was unanimously agreed, like, this is a storm widgeon. So I had to give you flowers. I didn't really want to, but
I knew it. I knew that was
what it is. I mean, I give you it. If you deserve the creds, you get them. So as far as I'm concerned, that is an absolute beauty.
Yeah, I'm excited to get that one back. So I'll have the mallard pintail and that storm widgeon for my second mount ever, which is pretty crazy. Like, I don't just mount, you know, every bird that I shoot. It's got to be something pretty special if I'm going to put it on my wall. And then I got an old squaw that I'm getting mounted this year, and then a big old barred up spec too. But the thing about that widgeon, kind of something I wanted to talk about on here, is how our season went, you know. Our season for me was not that good this year. And then I end the closing weekend on pretty much on that quality bird like that. It absolutely made my entire season. Like, I didn't care if I killed another bird after that storm widgeon. And it just kind of made up for the crappy season we had. So I kind of just wanted to shoot even like a whole recap from the beginning, you know, starting in September, traveling and hunting all the way. Now it's mid-March. Like, it's a long time, but it feels like it goes so fast, you know.
It does, man. It feels like once you get to, you know, we got squad fest obviously at the end of July, man, and it's like, dude, once you hit play on squad fest, everything happens so fast from that point moving forward, because there's other shows. Like, this year we'll have Delta and DU, and then you got 2 weekends of game fair, dude, and then early honker start.
Dude,
just go ahead and hit the fast forward button. I mean, honestly, I know sometimes when you're in the middle of it and you got a lot of things to get done, it, you know, it's pretty stressful and you're like, don't know how you're going to make it through. But then you look up and you're like, dude, how did that happen so fast? And it's every year. And you're like, dang, I'm another year older. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like yesterday, you know, we had just started this thing and not this thing, but for me started working with Dive Bomb. And, you know, I look up and I'm like, can't believe like how fast this has gone by, like how
multiple years.
It's crazy, dude. It just starts rolling. It's funny, like to me 2019 feels like it should just be like yesterday, you know. And it's like, dude, how is 2019, 2018, 2017, like how has that been so long ago, so quickly? Like, where is the time going?
No, that's how I feel too, because I think of 2018 I started doing stuff with Dive Bomb, now it's 2025, dude. I'm like, Where did that time go?
Your first year that
I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was 2018.
I thought it was like 17.
It was probably like summer. It was probably that 17-18 season.
I thought it was and then after that,
it just escalated like crazy. And now sitting here in 2025 doing this, it's unreal, dude.
But I mean it was a good season, you know, like harvest wise on the road. You can't say it was our best season. But
yeah, but it wasn't like a mega grind either. I know you had classic, you know, everyone sees the highlight reels from what we do on the road. There's a lot of hunts. I can just think of like four right now that were not good at all, that weren't film worthy, you know, at all on a trip. And so it's not just smashing 24/7, you know, it looks like that, but that behind the scenes stuff, dude, we're just, you know, it's just like every other person. Everyone has bad hunts. Everybody has good hunts. And shoot.
Dude, you know what I really remember? Like, so if we are going to go back in the archives to the early part of the season. So what, you know, obviously we went through all the shows and then, you know, you had your early honkers you did there. And then we freelanced some honkers, you know, up in the upper Midwest. We had a couple freelance trips, but then I know the guys they went up to New York and Ontario, but then our first trip together was our freelance trip in Canada.
Yeah.
And I remember like up till that point, season had been like, September wasn't great, you know, like videos just weren't coming as easy. The September honkers were just, we had some good ones, but they were just... It just felt a little bit more challenging at times. And then I remember we were on day three in Canada. And I'm sure you remember this, but the first 2 days we harvested.
Where this one's going.
We harvested a good amount of birds, but it just wasn't what we wanted, man. You know, we really were trying to stay dedicated to getting like ultra high quality, ultra clean. And that, I know sometimes it doesn't always work out that way, but that's really what we wanted. And we had some hunts that maybe like groups did it good, but we didn't shoot that good. Or maybe like we had no wind and we were still absolutely hammering them, but maybe they were like 25 right above us. So like the footage, like over the decoys wasn't that good. And we were killing the numbers. Like the numbers were there, but we were going into day three. And we had two good hunts as far as numbers the first 2 days. I think we like shot limits or really close to it, like really good hunts. But we were just, it wasn't exactly what we were wanting for video, like what we were wanting to put out there. You know, we're really trying to showcase like birds doing it right. And I remember there was a lot of tension, dude. Like morning three.
Dude, I remember that morning of that third hunt, dude. It was just like, gosh, you could cut it with a knife, dude.
It felt like that we had to have that one, dude. Like it felt like it's like we have to have this one.
That one felt like the make or breaker, dude. Like I don't like if we didn't film, and that we ended up filming actually a phenomenal one after your little hype man speech in the morning, dude, to get everybody dialed in. Asher hit like this straight up locker room baseball speech before the biggest game of your life, dude. Before this third,
this was like World Series Game 7, Super Bowl, dude. It felt like in the moment, if we did not get that one, it was like, dude, nothing's gonna go our way this season if we don't get this one.
That is what it felt like, dude. Like if we didn't nail that one, it just felt like the rest of the season was going to be off and, you know, shitty or whatever, bad hunts. But No, we ended up pulling it together on that one. Them,
and I said that morning before that hunt, part of my speech, getting the boys hyped up, I was like, look, this is it. Like, dude, this is our turning point, dude. Cause we were like 6 weeks in and we were like getting stuff, but it just wasn't
what I remember
vision, dude, going into the season.
No, it wasn't, because even Jake and Jordan came up to film with me. I had a a good huntable feed, and they were only evening feeding. And when we did set up to hunt them, they all came out at once. And there's like, oh, there, that was our one chance. And just, there's no video. And then it kind of just kept going and going, not, you know, on the quality that we wanted it to be. And it all came down to that third hunt up in Canada.
And I said, this one, it's going to happen. And then after it happens, we're rolling. Like, we get this one and the vibes change.
Oh,
the whole atmosphere changes. Everything changes from this point forward, dude. And we did. And, dude, we rolled off after that 7 or 8 in a row, like could not miss. The rest of that 100%. Trip was lights out. The vibes completely changed, dude. And then we just rolled right into the next trip. And it was just like, could not screw it up.
Straight up. Yeah, we after that day, we started smashing them up there, and like the scouts were good. The entire vibe changed, dude. Like, it really did. Everyone got a little bit more excited. We started getting to a little bit of ducks, and I remember rolling up on just like that one mega duck feed, sitting there watching it from the road. Yeah. Like, I can remember still how it was, because that was my first ducks of the year, you know, on that trip. But I think in that whole stretch, my favorite was the, I think it was the very last day, you know, when we had that really good spec hunt.
It was fun, man.
And ended up shooting that spec band. That was the first one I'd ever seen. That was actually probably one of my top three favorite hunts of the year. And it happened to be like right in September, right out the gate, dude. Like, I was chasing that high kind
of. Dude, you know, one of my favorite memories from that was, you remember the scout the evening before? I think it was just you and me, or it was you, me, and Tyler. It might have been just you and me. And we're in that
little crossover. No, it was you, me, and Tyler.
There was that fat double rainbow. And I took that Snapchat and I sent it. And I'm filming this like beautiful double rainbow. And then Judy's just taking the fattest piss at the end of it. Dude, I had so many people slide up on that. They're like, that caught me off guard so bad. I was just like,
just a fat double rainbow. I'm just sitting there, just taking a gravel road piss right there.
Dude, but we smoked them. And then, dude, what about after the last day when Tyler, we sent him to the car wash and we were eating dinner? Dude, I got to find that picture, dude. We got to get that picture up in here.
Dude,
I thought he was going to cry when he showed up there to that grilled chicken salad, saying that.
Dude, we were all eating
grilled chicken salad, I think.
It was, because we were all eating like fancy steaks and whatever. And he was like, I don't know, just like, I don't know, get me something. I'll be there in a bit or whatever.
But he told me to get him a grilled chicken salad. And that's what I got him. And then when he showed up, dude. Well,
that's right. He did say that.
Fit.
Dude, he was just had this little pouty face going.
I already know he's about to text me about this. Like, bro, you had to bring that up.
He was like, are you kidding me? You got to put that. Yeah, he was so sad.
Had to. That was like one of my best memories from the season. Because he had that huge mustache.
Oh, yeah, he was rocking the mustache that whole week. I forgot about that.
Everything else was perfectly clean.
Yeah, it was just clean shaved, dude.
Tyler, I love you, man. Don't be mad. Yeah,
no, he was good. I liked hunting with him. That was the first time I met him. But, yeah, dude, to start out, you know, and then I think my next trip after that was the King's Bend opener. So it went Canada, and then I think I went home and did my opener, which was decent. And then I went to King's Bend for their Missouri opener, and that was my first time ever going, you know, to the dive bomb properties out there and witnessing all that, seeing the shop in the 203 and having Cody like explain everything to me in person of how he built the whole thing. That was pretty cool. But lots of the guys are like, oh dude, there's so many mallards out there. So many mallards out there. And you know, we show up and it's just a spoony show. Dude.
Yeah. That video is on YouTube. But
Right? Yeah. It was me and Jake and Bowie and Nate. We filmed a couple, you know, just shooting the crap out of a bunch of spoonies, but it was awesome, dude. It was so fun. That's easy hunting. To me, you know, driving a side-by-side out and unloading your floaters and everything, because usually, you know, if you watch what I do, it's mud, slop, wet, hard pack-ins. But my in that split between, you know, Canada and there, we had a good push here in my home ground, and there was a lot of birds that showed up early. I mean, we had a widgeon smash on October 27th, and that usually does not happen for us at all, honestly. Like, usually it's like the second weekend of November and then on. But to have like a pure widgeon smash in early October was awesome. But now, looking back on my season, I wish it would have never happened, because after that, we lost all our ducks and they never came back. It was frustrating.
Yeah, it was an unusual year. You know, like Arkansas, we had a bunch of ducks, a lot of our summer ducks. You know, calendar migrators showed up around, you know, Halloween, even a little bit before. And that first week of November, a lot of teal, gadwall, pintail widgeon. And man, once they got to banging on them that third Saturday in November when we opened up, it just, like most of you have heard the story of Arkansas, it just wasn't, it wasn't a good year this year for most people. The birds seemed to be, that we had seemed to be a lot more concentrated, keyed in on certain areas. And it was tough for most people out there. But, you know, I guess before Arkansas, I don't have the schedule pulled up, but thinking about going into late October into early November, I mean, we had some good hunts on the, St. Clair with Troy, shot some
diver. Yeah, you, Jake, and Jordan went to Troy. I stayed home and hunted at home and got my ass kicked. But
and then was our next trip when we went to Kurtz the second weekend in November?
I think you guys did. I didn't travel as much this year. But I think you guys went to Kurtz.
Kurtz was freaking awesome this year, man.
That looked sick. I was pretty jealous of, you know, even that video you sent in the chat this morning of those ducks mobbing in on that little river, dude. Oh, my gosh.
Kurtz was I mean, Kurtz is always awesome, and he's a great guy. He's fun to hunt with anytime. But, man, the colder the better there. And we got lucky for going that early. It was cold. And, man, we had two really, really good ones. The first one, I believe, was that river that is a little bigger than most people had gotten used to with us hunting at Kurtz. But
yeah, it was. But it still
looked 25 greenheads, man. I mean, and that was passing on, like, the big bunches. And all the guys got in on the action. So the guys on the camera, they all got to shoot. And that was when we were doing a lot of our promoting for getting ready for like Black Friday and our sales. So that worked perfect because that's such a clickable environment. I mean, everybody loves mallards and mountains and small
and
water.
A little bit of water, dude.
Yeah, it was just prime for Black Friday content and clickable content. And then that next day we hunted a little small river, but we had to we could only hunt till, I want to say, like 9:30 or 10 that morning.
And I so just out.
So Kurt, Levi, and myself, we just went after three limits that day, and man, talk about shooting them like up close and personal, man. I mean, it felt like they were right on the end of
right on you.
The 20 gauge, man. I mean, it was so good. And then
I'm always jealous when you guys go out there. I gotta get myself
out
there.
Have you ever been out there?
No, I've never been out there. I've never been to Arkansas. I've never been on the good side. I kind of just stick to the western half of the U.S. pretty much, besides the odd New York trip.
Not to get off track on duck season, but dude, we got to get you out to Arkansas this year for a float.
Bro.
So, like, float and some smallies.
Need
like
to.
Buffalo River or Strawberry or Crooked Creek or something like that. And then, dude, a lake day on Goose Ferry on the Toon.
Dude, we've been talking about a lake day for like 2 years now. Dude,
I forgot, though. Does everybody know that you're about to have a baby? You're going to have to cut.
Maybe not. Well, yeah, I guess lots of people do. I'm having a baby. Come May 15th. It's March 10th right now, so I got about 2 months. It's a little baby girl.
Judy.
We're gonna name her Jolie Judy. I like that double J name.
Love it, dude.
Yeah, man. Coming into fatherhood, I'm getting pretty excited. Okay, so here's a question for you. What's your best advice coming in to being a brand new dad?
Man, just know that you are not the most important thing for quite a while. It's just mama's show, and you're just there to...
Oh, mom. I'm just there for support.
Mom, man. And then things will get really, really cool. I mean, the whole process is cool, but let's be honest, dads, like it gets better as they continue to get older and dad becomes cooler, you know, and you start wanting to go hop on a four wheeler with dad or go fishing with dad or you go to the ballpark. So Yeah, man. The best advice is it's mom's show for quite a while, but then
I could see that
things change pretty quick, and it's the best thing in the world. So
they get older, and you can actually start doing some dad stuff with them, and they're not super attached to mom, I guess. But no, Candace will be a great mom. She's looking forward to it. Her belly's just freaking huge right now. She's uncomfortable. She wants that thing out of her right now.
Well, and then, you know, our owner, Cody, you know, they're about to have a baby here, like, shoot.
Soon.
As this podcast is being recorded in the next, like, 10 days and possibly sooner. So, big congrats to Cody. Where this podcast may or may not be out by the time you guys have that baby. So
me and Cody having babies at the same time.
So we say all that to say, I highly doubt the lake weekend and the float is going to happen this summer.
Yeah, with a newborn and running a dog kennel all summer too.
Probably not, but we can always hope for the future.
Yeah, we could always dream about it. Like, dude, you sent me that Snapchat of going over the river and you're like, dude, we could float that this summer and catch smallies and drink beer and stuff. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, that dude, I need that in my life. It reminds me, because I got that little creek in my backyard that I call the Lazy River. I float that, but it's not as cool.
Yeah, well, we'll get you to at least Arkansas for next duck season.
Something. Yeah, I've never experienced that. Yeah, kind of got a little tangent there. No, it's all good. But after Kurtz, that's coming into December, right? I think.
Yeah, that's rolling into that. So Kurtz is like the second weekend, and then Arkansas is the third Saturday, and then Thanksgiving and all that. And then I guess that's when we rolled into KB in early December. Yeah, and we went early. We changed the schedule because we saw snow in the forecast.
Well, that's right. Early. That was kind of an on the fly decision.
Yep.
And went you guys 2 days kind early of
and son, that talk about working out, dude. That stretch of 3 days there. Those 3 days there, and then we went to see Tony crazy. On the back end. So it was five total in Missouri. Oof. Could not miss.
When I was I didn't get the pleasure of hunting on these ones. I just got to watch them and edit the YouTube videos afterwards. And I was just like, that was insane, dude. Snow and just crunch. Dude, even hopping on the Reaper boats and crunching all that ice and everything and like opening up the hole with the gator tail. That just looks sick, dude.
Dude, it's a special property, man. A lot of you, if you haven't seen the Home Turf series, go check it out. You can kind of see what went into this property and the vision that was behind it. But man, they've done a really, really great job on that property with from the vision and building it to the way they traverse it and ultimately the way they hunt it.
To see all that success come together, you know, just in this year, shooting a bunch of ducks out of there, having everybody out, hanging out, dude, it's just phenomenal, man. It's a special place to go.
A good year, in which it was, and then this year was from a number standpoint was significantly better. Yeah,
way better.
I mean, they're just going to continue to learn more and more about the place and continue to develop it. And I would expect it to only continue to
get better. Exactly. Like if you're only in a couple years in, you'll learn something new after hunting it every single year. Like, oh, maybe we should change this. Maybe we should change that farm a little bit different, whatever. It's only going to get better.
Special place, man.
Yeah. And then let's see, after that, kind of take a little Christmas break for a little bit. That's always kind of nice. And then you got any terrible travel stories? Did you have any bad travel days this year at all? Any bad delays or anything?
You know, it seems like every year we'll have one or two where you'll just get.
I know Jordan had a bad one.
Absolutely day. Bent. And you'll get into a destination. You either won't get there at all and you'll miss a day, or you'll get in at like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. You might get in at like midnight or one, and then you got to drive 2 hours, and then you got to wake up at 3:30, and then your whole 3 days are just like a fog because
you feel like you're playing catch up on it.
Yeah. And dude, when you're on a freelance trip and you're hunting in the mornings and then you're working right when you get done and then you go right back out to scout, dude, you talk about exhausting.
It is exhausting. And that's what I'm, you know, I was telling somebody about it the other day. Maybe it was when that the job application came up for Jake's thing. And everyone's like, oh, I'd love to hunt every day. I'd love to hunt every day. I was like, okay, yeah, no. We do, you know, you do get to hunt, but it's not just going and filming a hunt and just there's nothing at it. You don't get to go sit in a hotel room and lay down for the next 10 hours, dude. It's like hunt, product shots after the hunt, whatever. You never know when you're going to get the opportunity for it again. Go back, edit videos. If you're freelancing, you know, still have to scout till dark. And if you didn't finish anything till then, you got to go back and edit, dude. It's a process, man.
Dude, yeah. I mean, if most people knew what went into it and what we're actually doing and what we're asking of these guys, they would be,
yeah,
their minds would be blown away, the amount of work and time and lack of sleep that a lot of this stuff is done on, man. It's,
yeah,
it's pretty intense. And our guys do a wonderful job stepping up
100%.
To the challenge of every single season and turning things around on short
and
time.
You know, like even like with our squad, even if we have bad days or whatever, you know, we'll get kind of chirpy at each other and everything because that's just how it is. But you know, it's kind of like a little brotherhood. Like you'll roast somebody for a second, get a little pissed for a second, and then you just kind of just get over it, dude. And that's what I like about our group, you know, that we have built. It's just like hunting with your homies, and there's no, it's not like coworker stuff. You know what I mean? It's on a different level than that.
Dude, you and Jake's signature move is, dude, y'all just get quiet. And I know if y'all get like ultra quiet,
oh, yeah, dude,
I'm like, these dudes are upset about something.
It's so obvious, dude. We'll just be vibing our asses off for a bit. And if me and Jake go quiet, dude, it's like something happened. We're like, oh, shit. Yeah,
dude, how I keep looking back. How wide is my camera screen? My background is so ridiculous. I have three kids. I should have like put up some sort of like
curtain or something.
Got like my kids' toys and like my messy office. Hope it's not too bad. Dude, I'm really not as
Because all I can see is a cube. But on the when it goes on YouTube, it'll be significantly wider on each side.
I apologize in advance. Hopefully it's not too bad.
That spec mount you got behind you is pretty badass, though.
It is sweet, man. I like that. Dude, Mia, so our playroom back here, we were getting the carpets ripped up in my office, replacing with hardwood floors. So I had to take my mounts and all my stuff while I put it in the kids' playroom, which is behind me here. Yeah. And, dude, they were playing. I'm out on the front porch, and I hear this, like, death scream for me, and I was like, what the heck? Like, she must have really hurt herself. It had like a different sound to it. I'll walk in. Mind you, buddy Richard Mark, this spec mount won like some sort of national competition a couple years ago at this taxidermy convention in South Dakota. Richard Mark is incredible taxidermist. He did this one for me. This was a bird I shot with him out in Oregon in like 2021 or something. Well, anyway, he took this bird, won a competition with it, and then he gave it to me. And it's such a cool mount. But back to the story, I come in, and this thing's laid over on its side, and the neck is completely turned like 90 degrees, dude. And the wing is just like busted up. I looked at it. Dude, they were playing, knocked it over, and when it hit, it just...
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, I thought I was going to murder. Dude. My child, I literally had to just stop. I saw it. I walked in. I stopped and was just like, turn around and walk out before something really bad happens.
Before he got pissed.
So I walked outside and just stood there for a minute, just tried to take a breath and evaluate. And she's just like bawling because she knows what this stuff means to me.
Oh, yeah. She knew she messed
like,
up.
Big time. And she's like bawling. Well, I call Richard and I FaceTime with him. And I'm like, you know, obviously I'm like the world is crashing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a spec mount, but it means a lot to me. Well, he's like, nah, dude, like it'll be okay. He's like, if you know, work it back this way and those wings, you know. And anyway, I worked on it for a little while and some ticks back and forth. And, you know, there's a little spot. If you like look at it up close, you can see. But overall, we avoided a total disaster, but yeah, that sucker.
No kidding, dude.
Boom, and that neck was just like,
oh my!
I mean, just
dude. when I had this mount up in my upstairs, it wasn't on the wall, and I've been terrified that Dutch or Drifter or something's gonna go find it and just have it torn up, dude. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, I would be so sad. That happened to a Choke once. Cash ate his wood duck one time, and it was like the only wood duck he's ever got. So now I'm super scared that my dogs are going to get my mounts. But
are you going to mount Drifter's first bird? Did you mount? Did you keep this first bird?
No, I didn't keep. I got a picture of him holding it. It was just a generic widge, dude. Those became his, like, we shoot so many of those. He don't care about mallards, dude. He only wants widge, like, which is sick to me because I'm like, oh hell yeah, he's just like me for real, dude. No, he did good. His second. So for people listening, I have been an anti dog guy for a very long time, anti bird dog, and then, I caved and I got this red lab, and came into his first hunting season this year. So my first year owning a dog ever. So I learned a lot on that, which actually could be a whole nother podcast episode on dogs and young dogs or whatever. But his second retrieve ever, and he just did a basic gun dog training, was a double retrieve on widge, and it just blew my mind. Like, it was dark out, and he comes running back, and he drops them. I was like, give, and he drops one, and then he drops the second. I was like, dude, you just got a double retrieve. What the hell? I was like, that was pretty sick. And then, you know, towards the end of the season, I don't know if some dogs just figure it out, but if he sees two ducks drop, he grabs them both every single time. Like, it just became his signature move, which is crazy.
Did he change your mind on the owning a retriever?
A little bit. On the smaller hunts, yeah. I don't think I'd ever take him on like a 10-man hunt or anything like that.
Why not? But it seems like that'd be the one you'd want him on.
I don't know. It's just too much. Lots of guns going off, and he's still young. So I'm like, I'm running the hunt, and I'm having to like watch him and his kennel to make sure he doesn't break at all, but I'm still watching him. It's just a lot going on, you know, with a young dog in the blind. So I started him. My trainer told me to only take him solo hunting until like the light bulb clicks. So that's what I did. And then I moved, and then we hunted a 3-man hunt, and then a 5-man hunt, and then a 6-man hunt. And he did phenomenal on everyone. So it did change. I have to just come out and fully admit that it did change my mind on bird dogs. But it took me getting my own to realize how cool it is.
A little red boy right here.
Simba chilling.
He just lays by my.
Dang, dude. He's just chilling.
He laid out stretching, but hangs out by me all day.
Brought Drifter in here right now, he would tip over that light, that camera, that light, and jump on this wall probably, dude. Oh yeah, he's got that puppy energy still, dude. He's American Lab. He's a crazy little dude.
Just can't believe. But it
was good hunting with him. It was cool. He's a really good dog. He's steady. He doesn't whine. Marks birds good and just brings him back. Nothing.
What does he weigh? Is he about 55, 60 pounds?
He's like 56 pounds, I think he is. He's built like a little sports car. He's probably small and sleek. He's not, you know, one of those like big, tall, chunky labs. He's kind of small.
Man, yeah. I mean, the mud and slop that you guys deal with, I mean, if there was anybody that needed some convincing to get a freaking duck dog, I would think it would be somebody that's
not. I just didn't mess with it until this year, dude. But it was good. It was fine. But dude, circling back to a bad travel story. When we were going on our big honker trip that we do every year, I remember I had the gun that was supposed to like be brought with us. And I get to the airport and the locks that I've used, remember I was texting, dude, I was stressing. I texted you and I was like, dude, I don't know if this gun's going to make it. So I get there. I've used these locks on this TSA locks for like 6 years now. And I was running a little late and she's like, these are not going to work. And I was like, are you kidding me? Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? So I texted you and I was like, dude, I have the gun that we're supposed to bring, but I don't know if it'll make it or not. So I'm like, there's a Target like a Fred Meyer like 5 minutes down the road, and I had like zero time to spare. So I just go sprinting. I'm just mobbing out. I huck the gun case in there. I drop do like 70 miles an hour to the Fred Meyer, run in there. The locks are in a glass case. So I'm like scurrying around trying to find somebody, finally get them, grab the locks, mobbed 70 miles an hour back to the airport and made it with literally 2 minutes to spare before they shut down, you know, like the check-in kiosk. Dude, I was so stressed. I was like, I hate that, dude. I hate when it like stressful travel, dude. I hate it.
Dude, and the worst part is those locks. Like, so I've got the wire locks as well. And there's only a couple of airports that give you a hard time about it. And what's crazy is the airports that give you a hard time, I guess this is why, but they're the places that see more guns than anywhere. You would think it would be like these places like Seattle or Minneapolis. Yeah. Like, you would think they would give you a hard time and you just roll right through there. But then you fly into like Williston, North Dakota, and they're like giving you fits about,
yeah,
oh, I can reach my hand in there. And I'm like, okay, like you can get this much of your fingers in. Like, there's no way you can get anything out of there.
500
like,
of these a day.
Do less, you know, like, come on, man.
Dude, it's frustrating. Like, every agent's different. It's like Border Patrol agents too, dude. They're all different. And if you catch a bad one, dude, it'll just ruin your entire travel experience for that day. Like that lady, when she told me those locks wouldn't work, I was like, oh my gosh, these have worked for 6 years. And the one time that it's important, you're going to tell me I can't use them? So annoying.
And what's annoying is when you use the regular locks, the small little locks, dude, they just bust off.
Yeah, they do.
I've had my gun come back when I had to use those and had no locks on the case. They both busted off, or it'll come back with one lock. The only ones that don't break are the wire locks. And so I've got to where so I use the flexible lock is what I use. And then I keep a two pack of the regular ones in case I get the wrong agent. And I
find myself. I did. Yeah, I need to start doing that.
Go to the Fred Meyer or whatever.
That's that learning from experience. That
big,
right there,
the big brain move. Straight
big brain moves, dude. Right.
Because I almost got in a really bad spot the same way you did one time. And I was like, nope, never again.
Not happening. Yeah. So I learned after that, I keep two separate types of locks, four each in my bag just in case. Because I was like, dude, I'm not trying to do that again at all. But yeah, we ended up. Then I got that was one of those things. I got there in at like midnight and we had to be up at like 3:30 in the morning. It was just one of those deals. And I was like, man,
it just kind of sets you back through the whole trip.
Yeah, but I was like it's just all good. And then I have to watch you get the tiniest energy drink in the morning and sip on it for 19 hours. Dude, this
how many ounces are in those little baby Red Bulls?
This like, is one of my it drives me nuts. Asher will go into a gas station and just get one of those little baby energy drinks, and I'll have a straight up jerry can gone in like 45 minutes, and dude, we'll be like after the hunt and he'll still have like over half left just nursing on that. Dude, it drives me crazy.
I'll use the other half for scouting that evening.
Gosh, dude, that's so messed up.
About 3.5 ounces in the morning.
Straight up, dude. I'll watch you just like take the littlest baby newborn sip on those things ever. And you're like, oh, no, I can't finish this one. And then I'll be like, you'll be like out setting a little decoy spread and I'll just hop in the seat and I'll just take a little sip of it.
I'll tell you what pisses me off more than anything is when you guys pop the top on one of those things at like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh yeah, dude. That's bugged you for a long time, dude. I used to send you Snapchats back in the day of opening a Kickstart at like 9:30 p.m., dude.
I hate it so much.
Yeah, dude. I'll straight up. I just did it the other night. It's like 9:45. I'm a little thirsty. I'll just crack a monster open right before I'm about to go to bed, dude. It doesn't do anything. Just a night little.
Y'all drink too many of them. That's why y'all have to have so many. Because that's why I don't need that much. Because I don't live off that stuff like y'all do.
Dude, it's just a nice little nightcap.
And I'm weak sauce because I can't finish 8 ounces. I think y'all are weak sauce because y'all take three.
No. You got that so backwards, dude.
No, you're saying you don't drink three of those on the road in a day?
No, I do 100%. I drink three of these easy a day. I have one in the morning.
You always say I'm weak sauce for going through one and y'all take four of those things.
So I pretty much drink one on the drive to the field. I open up one while we're hunting.
That team is so
even say it. Dude, that's just real. Damn it. I'll open up one while we're hunting, and then usually one for the evening scout, dude. It's just perpetual whatever. Dude. But that big honker trip was a pretty good one to end on. We had a couple. That first hunt we had was like crazy good. Like we started out with an absolute banger, and it kind of faded after that. But still, yeah. Dude, that hunt was so good. That made the entire trip right there.
It did. Who in ounces this season drank more, you or Jake?
Jake kind of faded off. I think it's me for sure.
Well, he did. Yeah, he did. He kind of started kicking it a little bit toward
the
end.
He kicked it a little bit, but it's just part of my lifestyle, dude. I just can't get rid of it, dude.
You ever mix it up from the...
Especially when they came out with the big one that's a zero sugar, dude.
Is that the one you get every time?
No, I usually get these ones. Small ones. No, I mean
that same flavor.
Yeah, I get the Monster, the regular Monster zero sugar every time. Like, every time.
Dude, and then I haven't had a Monster since I was like 16.
Dude, it feels like I should be busting a kickflip on like a two-stair back in like 2009, dog.
Oh my gosh, dude. I like the little Red Bulls, but I kind of get a little bit tired of them. But I like the Alani's. They got that.
Yeah, you've been on those,
slush, I noticed. And then they got that. I really like those pink slush ones.
Yeah, I noticed good. You started getting on those a little bit, I saw.
And then, you know, I'll drink the Ghost. Jordan really loves those.
Yeah, I don't mess
I like
with those.
The Bubblicious one pretty good. And like the...
Yeah, those ones always mess you up if you catch a stray one every now and then. Dude.
The one that I keep waiting to see, I'm going to find it one day. And it's like the mysterious, like, does it even actually exist? But I've seen pictures of it. Is the, I believe it's the Cotton Candy Bubblicious one. But they have another flavor. Not the strawberry, but it's like almost like a purple can, I think. Somebody out there might know if you've
somebody
seen one, let us know.
There's a lot of Ghost connoisseurs out there, dude. Somebody will know.
But their other flavors, man, they don't really do it for me.
No, I've had the citrus. Like, I like citrus. I've had that one. It just, I drank it like every, if I want to switch something up, I'll go to like a sugar-free Red Bull just for a different flavor profile for a little bit.
Just a straight connoisseur of the...
Dude, kind of. Yeah, possibly. But I used to drink Mountain Dew Kickstarts like crazy, and then I went on like a crazy weight loss thing like 2 years ago, so I stopped drinking those, and now I'm back on freaking 2008 original Monsters, dude.
Dude, them things are pretty tasty, though, I'll be honest. I remember taking a few of those down when I was...
Back
I didn't
in the
get
day.
The sugar-free ones, though. I drank the regular ones. It was just like drinking candy.
Yeah, pretty much. They're a little sweet.
I'm going to have to get one for old time's sake sometime.
Dude, it's going to hit you with that nostalgia, dog, straight up. It'll take you back a couple of years, dude.
Still young again.
That nostalgia drink.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Yeah, it's... energy drinks are a hot topic all the time. Actually, anytime we're traveling, dude, we always argue about like the stupidest stuff. Like, like on the way to the fields in the morning, dude, any conversation is just like, you look like three businessmen. You know, I sent a meme the other day and they're sitting there like this trying to strike a deal. That is us pretty much with any conversation we ever have when we're traveling. Dude, we get so into it.
Dude, stuff
I love
so
it.
Deep, too. And sometimes it gets so ridiculously out of control, stuff we can't even obviously mention on here.
We can't say some of that stuff.
Stuff just gets way out of hand. And it starts at this one, how it grows from this one tiny little idea into like what we make it out to be, where it ends up is... The development of that, I don't know how it happens, but somehow it finds a way to happen.
Dude, somehow it always does. We're going to have to show that in one of the YouTube videos one of these days. Just have Jake start filming a raw combo, dude, if we could post it. It just gets out of hand so fast, dude, and everyone just starts building it. I don't even know how to explain it. It's crazy.
We got a pretty fun group of dudes that we travel.
Know, that's how you know you're on the road together all the time, when you can just dive into stuff like that like it's nothing.
We got a pretty solid squad, man.
Yeah, we do. We 100% do. I love everything about it, man. It's just like a well-oiled machine, you know. And even at NWTF, I had a lot of people saying, you know, on our YouTube videos, it kind of projects that we get along so well and click so good. It kind of just, you know, people were telling me it feels like they already know us when they're watching our videos, when they meet us in person, you know, at like a trade show or whatever like that. So that was cool to hear.
You know what's crazy is it's hard for me to believe, like, I, you know, Jake and Jordan both, you know, have been with us 3 years now, which is.
Yeah, dude, it has been 3 years.
It just feels like kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier. Like, where does the time go, man? Like, it feels like yesterday. Yeah. And I mean, those guys have such important roles day to day. I mean, just monster impact those guys make. And, man, it's hard to believe, like, how quickly that has happened. You know,
dude, I remember the first time I ever met them when they barged into my hotel room at Game Fair 3 years ago. That's crazy.
What was your, dude, just straight up, what was your first impression of Jordan, Jake?
Of both of them?
No, independently.
Yeah, Jordan was really quiet. I didn't know how to feel about him, honestly. He was pretty quiet and reserved. And Jake just seemed like, you know, kind of just like a little dumbass running around, you know, like pretty loose, like kind of didn't care, got along with everybody. So I think, you know, I gravitated towards Jake pretty fast because he was like super friendly, you know, and Jordan just was like kind of a little hard ass, dude. It took him a while, you know, to loosen up.
Yeah, he, you know, I had people that always asked me, like, is he having fun or is like, is he...
Kelly just peeking in the back.
Like, is he having fun or, you know, he seemed a little standoffish and like, nah, man, like he's good. Like, it's just him. It just takes him a little bit of time to warm up. Like, he's enjoying himself and he's not going to go like put himself out there, you know?
No, that's just how he is. But
once he gets to like know people, you know, everybody likes Jordan and they're like, yeah, you know, Jordan coming, Jake coming, whatever. But he kind of had a pretty tough shell to crack there for a little while. And he's always put his head down and worked. I mean, he's always been a worker from day one, but like kind of coming out there, he was a little bit more reserved. And then Jake was kind of a little bit more just kind of like a puppy dog, just kind of stumbling around over his feet.
That's exactly how it was, dude. But they both, shit, 3 years later after first meeting them, dude.
Yeah.
Night and day. Crazy.
They
work their asses
off. They puppy dogs nowhere. Them dudes are absolute dogs, like
100% dog.
They just flat get it done, both of those dudes. And you know, we've got you know, Bowie as well now. He's been with
us. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we got Bowie too.
I mean, he's done a great job and he'll continue to play a huge role in our market.
Oh yeah, massive.
And everybody they'll start seeing him more.
Yeah, he'll be showing up on the videos and stuff, and you'll be seeing him around on all the media and everything. You might he hasn't been around too much, but I mean some of the Instagram posts, you see Bowie on there, you get tagged and stuff, they might be like, yo, who's this dude? But yeah, he's Andrew Bowie, man. He's awesome. Phenomenal photographer, like just good dude.
How'd you finish your season in January?
Dude, the last week. All right, I'll give we're kind of going on here, but I'll give a little recap. October, good push. We lost those ducks. November and December were an absolute struggle. Worst season probably in my entire life and almost throughout the whole Pacific Flyway. I was talking to people from BC, Washington, Oregon, Northern California, and Southern California, and it was all pretty much the same consensus of the same season that I had. November sucked. December was terrible. And then all of a sudden we had no cold weather at all. And then we get one cold snap in mid-January and all our ducks showed up. The ducks that should have been there in mid-November showed up in late January, which was extreme. That's never happened to us before. Like this, it was so weird that it's like an anomaly and I don't think it'll ever happen again. I think it's just like a one-time deal, dude, because I've never seen it in my life. So then the last week, I was just solo hunting my ass off because there were so many ducks around, dude. I was like hunting on weekdays and everything, going out, shooting my seven with Drifter. And then on the last weekend, the last day of the season, we had our best hunt in the last 2 months. Like, it was so frustrating that they just all showed up. But after talking to a lot of people, NWTF, you know, it sounded like somewhat of a common thing around the country. But I know for sure the Pacific Flyway, it wasn't just us. It was the whole entire flyway, dude. It was ridiculous. So that's my gripe on our season. And the best thing I can do is just, you know, throw it in the trash, get over it, and just hopefully next year's better. But it was so weirdly bad that I don't think it'll ever happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, Arkansas was tough too, man. I mean, we had a pretty good push there late. And then I closed on a small little farm, and it was a lot of birds at the end of season. And I was able to get a hunt in before the, I actually hunted it the day I closed, which was,
oh, that's right. Really, yeah. You went out there the afternoon you closed on that thing.
That was the highlight of my season. Like, just going out there with Simba and like closed at like 12:30, and 3 hours later I had my first limit off of it, which was really cool. And then I took Mav back in the youth season. There was a lot of ducks, but I drove by there going to a wedding in Memphis, not last weekend, but the weekend before, I guess. And pretty, dude, stacked. It was freaking stacked, which was really, really exciting. You know, it felt like, I don't know, man, it was just a weird year in Arkansas. Pretty similar to kind of like what you guys experienced. You saw those videos of everybody up in Missouri. We're all like complaining about where our ducks are. And then you look and they're freaking floating on the ice in the Missouri River. And, you know, this mallard that could be a whole nother podcast topic. You know, obviously talking about the migration. I mean, there are people that have built podcasts on the migration and what they think is going on or whatever. But this is a very, very hardy mallard, you know, these days. Like, these birds, they're
just built different.
They're stubborn. They are built different, and they just don't move. They just don't move. And as Arkansans, a lot of people think they're obligated to get to us because we've always, you know, been,
you've always got your ducks. Yeah.
And they ain't obligated to do nothing. I mean, it's like, I always tell people, no. I got an Outback Steakhouse in North Little Rock. I ain't gonna drive to the one in Conway, you know, or Fayetteville. I can go to the one in Little Rock, you know? So I don't know. It was an unusual year, but I'm not all doom and gloom the way a lot of people are.
Oh, I'm not, you know, I'm not, I'm the same way, man. I'm just like, it is what it is. I ain't going to get pissed about it. It was frustrating during the season. And by mid-January, I was like, can this just be over so I can just be done scouting and not get my ass kicked every weekend? But like, the best thing you can do, whatever, forget about it. Next year will be better. Like,
We're out there regardless.
If you're a true waterfowler, if you don't even have a good hunt lined up and you have the opportunity to go hunting, you're going to be out there. I do that all the time, which, you know, we don't have a very good feed. Well, I'm still going. Who wants to join me? Kind of thing. You know what I mean?
And for DB, you know, like we were saying at the beginning of the podcast, it's much different when we're on a dive bomb trip and we are working, and goals and objectives,
goals and tasks
that we have outlined for that hunt. You know, so we want things to go a certain way, you know, obviously. But when we're just at home and we're just hunting, like, dude, I'm not fair weather. Like, I'm gonna go. You know, like if I can go, I'm gonna go. I think I'm gonna kill 4 or 40, like, especially if my kids are out of school willingly want to go. Just we're going to go, you know, so regardless of what happens or the future of it, I mean, I hope they have a lot of ducks to kill when they're my age and even older. But the fact is, like, you and I were both doing this long before social media.
Yeah.
And
before the social media blow up, it's just it's just a lifestyle like that. And I know there's thousands and thousands of other people out there just like that. I meet them all the time at trade shows and everything. You know, you see the true hunters who actually just built, you know, a lifestyle around it. And it means everything to them. Like me, I can say I don't want to talk about a duck, you know, after the season for a while, but it's still in my brain like every single day of the year, which is kind of ridiculous. My wife gets fed up with it too, but it's just how it is, man. And then, you know, going in a tough season like this for me, which was new for me, I'm very fortunate to never have a really like tough season in my life, and I finally got one. And I was like, gosh, dang it. I can't talk any shit to anybody about any of this stuff anymore because it was just bad. It was plain and simple. It was bad. And it wasn't just for me. It was for a lot of people. Looking forward to next year. Hopefully it's better and go from there. And I have a daughter to teach how to hunt now instead of be a I don't want her to be a horse girl. So I'm going to teach her how to be a menace to the woods around.
Horses are too expensive.
Gosh, dude, it's ridiculous. I
at
got
least,
two
I,
horses.
At least I hear from you. This is not coming from a horse.
No, no, that's coming. You. That's coming from me. Yeah, I got two horses and they're pretty expensive to take care of. So I'm trying to raise the little duck huntress instead of a horse girl.
Yeah.
Yeah,
kids,
man.
They get expensive.
I'll figure that out real soon here in a little bit.
They're worth it. They're worth it. But they do cost a lot.
Yeah, you're not in the newborn stage anymore. I'll be doing that newborn stuff this summer when it's hot out and I got 15 dogs to take care of in the kennel, but looking forward to it. But man, I know this season it was pretty good all around. No complaints about it besides, you know, my personal stuff. But DB wise, man, it was good. We had some awesome trips, good times with the boys out there. And then, you know, you end your season, then we hit NWTF. It's cool to see everybody out there, you know, meeting up a little bit, talking like turkeys coming up. And then pretty much from NWTF after that, it's like squad fest that we look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, we're sitting here early spring and talking about warming weather and fishing and all this
dude,
stuff.
Mid-July is going to be here in two seconds.
We're going to look up and the whole cycle start again, you know?
Exactly, I mean, dude.
I love it, though. I mean, it's what we do, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. And then we have huge changes coming to Squad Fest this year for the fifth squad. It's the fifth year, right?
I think it's the fifth one. Yep.
Yeah, it's the fifth one at our brand new headquarters in Hazelwood, Missouri. Can you tell us a little bit about how a little synopsis on what it's going to be like this year?
It's going to be awesome, man. We are basically opening up our new facility, grand opening of the new facility. So we've got a massive HQ showroom. Those of you that have been at the old place in Maryland Heights, this place is. It's impressive. It really is. So we're going to be opening up the HQ showroom. We have no doubt you guys are going to love it. But with the layout and the vendor space, it's really going to be laid out to it'll be an outdoor event, but it'll have a very indoor feel. 370 was an awesome park to have it at, but it was so it's very spread out, you know, so you've got like your pavilion area and then you've got your vendor area. This place is going to have I believe it's going to have a lot more of a personal feel. And then we're going to have a really cool, like, centralized area. We're talking about having, really, really building around a beer garden as, like, a central area. I think Orr said something about, what do you call it? The dive beer or
something.
I don't remember what. He had a name that he threw on it.
Of course,
he always has names. I can't remember what it was, but really, really focusing on like a centralized hangout area, and then, you know, obviously having all of the vendors there around it, and then the ability to go check out the HQ showroom.
That'll be sweet.
The sales, you know, the sales that we have there are the best sales that you'll ever see from Dive Bomb, like throughout the course of the year. Like, we do Black Friday, we have some holiday sales, we even did a closeout sale this year, but like the sales that we do at Squad Fest are always going to be the best. I mean, so
if you're looking for a good deal on waders, you might want to show up to the brand new headquarters on Squad Fest.
Yeah, and want to check out the new ammo patterns.
That bark is so sick, dude. Dude, we've been teasing those camos a little bit, and everyone's waiting for those things to drop. Oh my gosh, dude.
That's plain, man.
That's for them Southerners. I'll probably be wearing the other one up here in the West
Coast. Dude, I'm going to tell you, that stock camo is sweet.
It is sick, dude. I was looking at it on the zippered gun case the other day when you guys were posting those videos with Tony, and I was like, that is badass. They're just phenomenal. Everyone's going to love those when they come out. Early summer time frame, is that when those are dropping? ish.
I would expect just come to Squad Fest is what I would say.
Yeah, baby. They're going to be there at Squad Fest.
I'd say come to Squad Fest. And not only can you get great deals and see new products and what's to come, but dude, it's just, it's the coolest event. It's the most personalized event that there is. Like, it's not as mighty in numbers, obviously, as like your NWTFs or your game fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, those events, there's a lot of just like, you know, kind of doing the due diligence, walking the aisle, seeing who there is. Like, dude, this is like a hangout. Like,
this one's like, you're coming.
Hang out there to be present there.
Yeah, you're not just doing the vendor loop and leaving at this one, dude. It's like, there's food, there's a ton of beer you can meet. And it's a huge, it's a good, anywhere you go is a good networking event. But I meet people from all over at Squad Fest. You get a couple beers into you and you start chatting, dude. Next thing you know, you could be lining up a hunting trip with some dude five states away that you didn't know an hour ago. Like, just stuff like that. Like, you're going there to hang out, meet new friends, see everybody from Dive Bomb, and just, it's just a big old party, dude, pretty much. Like, it's like you said, it does have a very different feel from a regular trade show, which is awesome. I love Squad
Fest. Feels like you're hanging out with all your friends. Like,
that's exactly what it feels like. Dude, I'm trying to get my face on that beer poster again this year. I was on the beer poster last year. I'm still trying to get one of those signed. I should hang one up back here somewhere.
Which beer poster?
There was a beer poster. It was me just like crushing something out of a cup, and it was like it was the poster for the beer trailer last year.
One of our drinkware items, I guess.
Yeah. I'm trying to repeat that again. Those
photos in that blind. It was like 0 degrees.
Oh, that's right. It was cold.
Really cold.
And it sucked. And then we just ended up doing drinkware shots anyways. But yeah, dude, looking forward to Squad Fest. That's going to be fun. That's going to be coming quick. But it's always a great time there, and good to see everybody and drink some beers, hang out, call in contests if you're into that. But this year, it's just the new headquarters, and it's going to, I got to get out there before Squad Fest to see that place, because it looks absolutely massive. From what I've heard from Jake, dude, they got electric scooters like mobbing around.
It's so big, like to walk from one place to the other. I mean, it take you 10 minutes. I mean, it is huge. It is absolutely huge. And we've got a lot of parking lot area to work with. So it's going to be sweet. Like you said, the calling contests are always like world-class. It's all the best callers every year, because the payouts are so good.
Yeah.
There's a qualifier for the world duck, you know, there in Stuttgart, and then
we'll have
a retriever demo. Eric Thiessen, he's with Habitat Flats Kennels now.
Well, he's gonna do
doing great demo things this year. Here, so we'll get Eric back up there. He did a great job last year. So yeah, man, it's awesome.
Yeah, I actually listen to the dog stuff now that I actually have one. I usually didn't give that stuff the time of day.
I put it past it. Now it's in your algorithm.
Yeah, dude. Now it's just straight up in there.
Who are you going to have on as your next guest, Judy?
Man, I don't know. I'm thinking either Cody Stokes, or probably Cody. I think I'll have Cody on here and just get a big old dive bomb. There's lots of stuff that's happened in the last, 3 months. New products, new everything, new headquarters, how KB and 203 went. I think I'm just going to get, a season wrap up from him and kind of updates going into the future of Dive Bomb. I think that'd be a pretty good one, because there's lots of stuff that's been happening.
That's not, you get Cody, Tommy, those guys in here, that is not one that I would want to miss, because we got a lot coming. And Cody, if you get him on like a platform like this, he'll share a lot of that stuff. No, you'll start getting secrets, man. I love it. I love the approach that Cody allows us to take with, we've never been like really secretive about what we're doing, like do a date and like this mysterious, like, like we're kind of just like, dude, we're making this, and like
it's coming.
So you get Cody on here, man, you guys
probably in the background.
Leaving a lot more than what we're giving you. So I sure would not want to miss
that. Yeah, dude. If we get him on here, he's always spilling all kinds of DB secrets when he gets a microphone on him, dude. I might have to get a couple beers in him too and get some better info out of him.
I had a good talk with Cody today. I'm excited about where we're going, man, and what we got going on. Dude, it's just crazy, man. It really is. The whole journey and the support, dude, from our customers in the waterfowl community has just been.
Oh yeah, it's been phenomenal, and it just gets better and better every year. But man, we're creeping up. I wanted to go an hour. We went an hour 20, man. Haven't talked to you in a while.
Oh. Wait, no, it's been a minute.
It has, but you know, we'll see if we can get Cody on here for episode 71. I'm sure he won't have a problem with it. And thanks for coming on, man. It was a good chatting to you. A little recap of the season, Squad Fest coming, big stuff coming out of Dive Bomb like always, and just looking forward to, you know, a little bit of the off. Well, we never have an off season, but you know, looking forward to that, and then going into 25-26, which is crazy.
Heck yeah, dude. Appreciate you having me. Look forward to seeing where you take this thing as the host.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for it. I'm truly excited to be on this and just chat with everybody, have good conversations, and hopefully even have like a couple little random people on here, you know, in the like midsummer, dude. Like not just like hunting, but just like just some off the wall entertaining people. So you're gonna be expecting some good content coming out of the squad or squad cast after this.
I know you'll get some good guests, and I always have fun talking to you, Judy. You know, every once in a while on a hunt when things are going bad, you might get a little quiet and shut down, but for the most part you're pretty fun to talk to. It's usually if I'm not being so fun to be around, probably, but
maybe when you get quiet, I go quiet. I'm like, yeah. Shit.
No, it's always a good conversation with you. So I have no doubt this, I'll be listening to all of them. So yeah. Appreciate you having me on.
Cool, man. Thanks for coming on. And we'll catch you guys on episode 71 coming soon.
See you, dude.